Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today is a DIF4Q episode. And very quickly, DIF4Q is the Discover Indie Film 4 questions, which are favorite films of all time, a film you think is underrated, a film you think is overrated, and a lesser-known film you want people to seek out. Today, the 4 questions are going to be answered by Nate Habke. Nate's excellent film One More showed at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2017, and it's one of my favorites, so I was really excited to get him in here for a podcast. The man works full-time at General Hospital and still manages to make one or two films a year. One More is a very sweet, sentimental film, so I was really curious what his favorites were going to be. No need to wait. Here's the answers.
3 favorite films of all time. It's always a rotating list. So as of today, what I'm going to say, Philadelphia Story, Moonlight, and Clue.
Clue?
Yeah.
I think you mentioned Clue last time with Tim Curry.
There you go. And actually, we're going to go see it at a midnight screening at the Vista, because they're doing that on some Friday in September. We just bought our tickets. So I'm excited about that.
It's funny. Clue is one of those films that when it came out was kind of derided, and now I think it really gets a lot of respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It at least has like an amazing cult following. And it, for me, I don't really like rewatching movies. I like rewatching movies if they made me think, and I want to think about why they made me think. And I like, especially if there's a lot in there that was maybe a little bit more implicit, or if it's a little bit more of a highbrow thing, like something like Inception or something. That's not super highbrow, sure. But like wanting to catch all the details that Nolan puts in there.
And films
fully
with,
appreciate
with,
them
with tons of layers. It helps to see it multiple times.
Absolutely, but I'm not the type of person that like really loves to rewatch stuff. I love to watch new things. But Clue is one of those movies that I can watch over and over and over again and laugh at the same freaking things every single time, as if I was hearing them for the first time. It's just so utterly watchable. Philadelphia Story, the significance of that, is the first black and white movie I ever watched. My mom got me into black and white movies. I was a huge fan of Jimmy Stewart for a long time. In my formative acting years, if you asked me who my favorite actor was, it would have been Jimmy Stewart. And then the third one that I said, Moonlight, the feeling that I had when I saw it at the Los Feliz 3 with my friends Nina and Brandon, and I just felt so raw and human afterwards, and it just was so special. What he was able to achieve with those actors and with the visuals and some of the sequences where he slowed it down, it was just so affecting. Yeah.
And it's a devastating film.
Yeah. Yeah. And he just actually released, Barry Jenkins just released the trailer for his next movie. If Beale Street Could Talk. Looks great. So I'm really excited.
Excellent.
Yeah. Overrated movie.
Actually, next you get to do underrated. You get to do underrated. So you get to say, a film that doesn't get the props it deserves.
Perfect.
Although if you want to do overrated, you can do them out of order.
No, I'm going to go underrated movie. The Florida Project. I was so disappointed when the Oscar nominations came out and The Florida Project was not in there for really any of the major ones. I was thankful that Willem Dafoe got some recognition.
They gave him a Best Actor nod just because he is who he is.
Yeah, but I was so disappointed when that wasn't better appreciated. It was the same, going back to what I said about Moonlight, it was the same feeling that I had, and actually, funny enough, I saw it in the same theater in Los Feliz 3 with Nina and Brandon, and it was that same raw human feeling that I got when the end credits rolled, though it took me a while to get into the final sequence and contextualize it as to, because I was so acutely aware of what the production restraints were on that final sequence. I don't know if you've seen it. But it visually changes. And when I was able to make the argument for why it was able to visually change outside of the production restraints of having two kids run into Walt Disney World, so you would need to strap a GoPro to one of them as opposed to, the same camera that you've been shooting the entire rest of the movie with. But also just hearing the production stories about what Sean Baker was able to do I find his stuff fascinating. It made me want to go back and watch Tangerine, which was the first feature film shot on an iPhone to premiere at Sundance, or any of the major film festivals, was also wonderful. So most underrated film, in my opinion, Florida Project.
Yeah, my eye roll is that I had a copy of Florida Project and I was dying to watch it, and it was lost with a hard drive.
There you go.
So I've got to get that. I think I got to get that screener back. I never saved the screeners. I'm like, I don't need media. I need a hard drive. But anyway, enough about me.
Yep.
I will cut that out. I always cut out when I put in silly comments. But so now you're overrated.
Overrated film. Oof. Gosh.
And again, you can like it. I always tell people, it can be a film you love. You just think that people are saying it's fantastic, better than it is.
All right. I'm going to get a lot of hate for this one, I'm sure. Or at least disrespect for this one. 2001 A Space Odyssey. Maybe it's just that I didn't get it. I don't know. I saw it as an adult for the first time, so it wasn't like I saw it as a kid and I was like, oh, it looks really cool, but I don't know what's going on. Like, I watched it as an adult and I tried to put it all together and I watched it a second time and I don't know. I for some odd reason, I've never been able to connect with Kubrick as a director, as a writer-director. As you know, I've watched a few of his films, and I think the only one that I could say that I enjoyed was The Shining. Just because Jack Nicholson's performance in that is amazing.
You know, I'm not too surprised because you're highly personal in your work. And I think Kubrick might be the most impersonal filmmaker I can think of. Although for me, Dr. Strangelove is like a special exception to that. I don't know if you don't even like Strangelove, but
I mean, I do like Strangelove, but because I'm a huge fan of Peter Sellers.
He's God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, one of my favorite films, not on the top three, but just a quick anecdote. Did you ever see Life and Death of Peter Sellers?
Yes, the one that Jeffrey Rush.
Yeah, I think I talked about that last time.
You might have.
He's so wonderful as Peter Sellers, and it was just it's a great framing, and it's so funny that it was a Showtime movie. It was a Showtime original movie. I don't think many people saw it because I've always brought it up, and I'm like, not only is it a great Jeffrey Rush performance, it's a great Peter Sellers biopic. And no one has really seen it.
Well, that could be your lesser known people need to seek out.
Perfect.
Or
here
you
we
can
go.
Name another one.
No, I think actually that perfectly transitions into a lesser known movie that I think people should check out. It is a Showtime original movie that was The Life and Death of Peter Sellers. It was a biopic of Peter Sellers starring Jeffrey Rush that came out in the early 2000s. And it was just wonderful. It was an introduction for me to Peter Sellers as Sellers as a person outside of his acting. So you see the connection that he had with his parents, or the lack of connection that he has with his parents, his passion for that drama that he wanted to make.
Being
there, that's right. Yeah, that book that he loved, and the studios wouldn't let him make it.
Wonderful book.
Yeah.
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 No, wonderful film. And John Lithgow is wonderful as Blake Edwards.
Yep.
And what was it? Tucci? No.
Stanley Tucci was
Tucci
Stanley
played
Kubrick.
Kubrick, yeah.
And Charlize Theron is in it, and it's just, it's a great cast.
It's a wonderful film.
Yeah. And you bounce around and you see, I mean, it's kind of how I felt with Jim Carrey as Andy Kaufman, kind of. It was just sort of this embodiment of this larger-than-life character. And getting to peel back, you know, what everybody else saw and getting to see them in their personal life was just fascinating for me. And so I thought that was a really great movie, and I think other people will enjoy it too.
It is. And everybody should dig deep into the Peter Sellers catalog.
Absolutely.
It should be like required.
Yeah.
Required viewing is watch the whole Peter Sellers catalog, then watch that film that encapsulates it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I just, my favorite Peter Sellers story is that, you know, he was hired as like an under five role to just do that one scene, and he slips on the globe, and then it was like, we need to write more for him. And the movie just completely changed. So,
yeah, he's so great.
Yeah.
And that, my friends, is the Four Questions with Nate Hapke. If we sounded kind of rushed, it's because we were. Nate had to go, and we talked forever during his podcast interview. And then at the very end, I said, oh, wait, we've got to do the four questions. So yeah, we kind of blew through those, but you probably didn't mind it going by fast. And now let's wrap up the business. Go to discoverindiefilm.com for all the information you need. There's a ton of podcasts there. Most of the podcasts have a great short film for you to watch. If it's for a feature film, there's a link to it. And you can also learn about the film festivals like the Sherman Oaks Film Festival that's every November and Film Invasion LA that's every June. And there's even links to my website, jeffhoward.me. Thanks for listening.